Welcome back, friends. Now we're going to pick up with John Paul II. So we looked at some of the popes of yesteryear. Now we're going to look at a more recent pope. And this is just a wonderful, wonderful, accessible little book. I had the pleasure of having a Lenten retreat, a silent retreat, preached on this for 2020. Yeah, right before the shutdown went into effect. And so I highly recommend it. But I want to pull out one quote as we move forward here. I look to you, brother. So this is John Paul. He's addressing the faithful. I look to you, brothers and sisters of every state of life. To you, Christian families. Saranon. And to you all, because at some point you were part of a family. To you, the sick and elderly, to you, young people, confidently take up the rosary once again. Rediscover the rosary in light of the scriptures, in harmony with the liturgy. We'll be back. Sarah already talked about a little bit liturgy with that unity prior, but we'll come back to it. And in the context of your daily lives. He's talking about make it a part of the rhythm of your daily lives. And he means what he says. He really does. And so that's what we're coming into now. Well, let's finish off indulgences, and then we'll have to see what about apparitions. A plenary indulgence is granted for reciting 5 decades of the rosary in a Catholic church or a family group. Or religious group, you know, like in a ladies or men, that's their thing, or pious associations. A partial indulgence is granted in other circumstances. The 5 decades must be recited continuously. The vocal recitation, so it's not just going to be quiet, the vocal recitation must be accompanied by pious meditation on the mysteries. In public recitation, the mysteries must be announced in the manner customary in the place. So different places announce the mysteries in different ways. For private recitation, however, it suffices if the vocal recitation is accompanied by meditation on the mysteries. So if you're, you know, like with yourself or in a small group, you know, you could say, you know, the joyful mystery, the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation. And then our Father, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of variation. And of course, for a plenary indulgence, you have the usual conditions of being freely detached from sin, confession when possible, and the Eucharist when possible. And in praying for the intentions of the Sovereign Pontiff. So that's. And that's all you really need to say. I pray for the intentions of the Sovereign Pontiff. So, anything on that before we go into apparitions?
Can we talk just a little bit about the how you can begin to implement this a little bit into your family with helping the children? Or do you want to save that for later?
Yes, we're going to come back to that. That is what we're going to end with is practical considerations. Yes. Because that's a big question. Or at least I know it was for me. So, yes.
And one of the things that I do think is interesting is the element of, you know, that Pope John Paul, St. John Paul had to address this as rediscovering the rosary.
Yes.
That after all of those years, that as if there could be any conflict between praying the rosary and the mass, that there could be any tension there, right? And I think that was one of the greatest sorrows and losses was the fact that somehow in the reformation or in the installation of the Novus Ordo Mass was a debasement of these prayers that are so helpful for the development of the liturgical mind in the individual person, right? The rhythm, the flow, the ritual, the ability to have, I mean, it's not a sacrament, but it is a sacramental, right? It's an element that the church has provided for us that keeps us, and I used the term before, that keeps us anchored. It's very hard for us to, our Lord knows, as St. Paul said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so he does not disparage our weakness, right? He loves our weakness, and he gives us a lot of aids and assistances to supply what is lacking. And this is one of those beautiful sacramentals that has been literally put into our hands to aid us in meditating upon things that are beyond us.
That's correct. Aids our weakness, our incredible poverty. And another one of those aids is apparitions of Our Lady. So I turn to our Sunday's Visitor's Catholic Encyclopedia. I have it up on the shelf. It gives us some helpful distinctions when discussing these heavenly appearances or private revelations and messages, if there are any associated with them. So here are our terms. We have apparition, we have a private revelation, and we have messages. An apparition is the various kinds of supernatural visions of heavenly beings, frequently applied to the visions associated with Mary. So that's a private revelation, comes from a vision and communication with Mary or other heavenly beings. Revelation is the body of truths found in scriptures and sacred tradition of the church. Private revelations are not dogmas of faith and are open for selective acceptance and devotion of the faithful. So a private revelation is not binding on us. We don't have to say, we don't have to have an affirmation of the intellect, affirm with our will that Our Lady appeared at Guadalupe or wherever else. We don't have to do that. Messages often in an apparition, a message is given to the seer, the person who beholds the vision. It may be a warning about the need for prayer and penance to avoid a coming war or disaster. For example, after apparitions at Fatima, Portugal, Our Lady of Fatima told Sister Lucy de Santos that a pope would be shot. So I have to insert this because not all believe this next sentence. Some think this prophecy was verified on May 13th of 1981 when Pope John Paul II was shot. Some don't think that was actually fulfilled then, because it doesn't actually fit the vision that Sister Lucy has of that. But that's other opinions of that. Messages may also include a request that a church be built to honor Mary at the apparition site, with the promise of blessings to all who come there to pray. For example, the basilicas in Lourdes, France, and Guadalupe, Mexico, were built in response to Mary's request and are visited by millions of pilgrims annually. There is that point that Sarah keeps beautifully hammering home, and we can't really say it too often. It's a physical place with our physical bodies to encounter a spiritual reality. And that is what Our Lady provides to us. She's the passio, the passability to something that's impassable, as Sarah highlighted. Right.
Yeah, the Marian apparitions are, always been a great consolation. Particularly for a pious young child or a pious, person, the belief that we are not so far separated from heaven, right? That heaven is tangible, that it's not esoteric, it's not a nothingness into which we are, hoping to become, united in one big nothingness. It's love in the particular. And I think that to me has always been one of the main consolations of these beautiful apparitions, is that Our Lady, who is the Queen of Heaven and Earth, right? Because she is the father of the King of the world, right? The King of the universe, right? I mean, so she's at a minimum the Queen Mother, that she would deign to come to a little child or to a person. You know, I mean, how often does Queen Elizabeth come to a little one, right? I mean, it would be a news story, right? If Queen Elizabeth went and visited a child in a hospital, that's newsworthy. How much more beautiful and newsworthy and worthy of profound meditation is the fact that our Heavenly Mother will come and visit someone on earth? I mean, at a minimum, it should give somebody pause to think about what great love that must be.
That is right.
I mean, you're in heaven. You know, everything that is good and holy and pure is yours, and yet you come back to a world, to the passibility, right? She does not disdain sorrow.
That's correct.
I think that's one of the most profound, beautiful things about Our Lady is that she's willing to suffer with us, whatever is necessary to bring her children to Christ.
That is right. So the next time we're going to go into how do we discern apparitions and private revelations, and then go on to discuss some of the apparitions and their connection to the rosary. So the next time, my friends, fides et ratio.